Hello again, friend. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are on the air for a quarter-hour broadcast under the caption of A Few Minutes with the Bible. You know, we've delivered you a number of the lessons in this current series, and the titles that we've had that have come to your family circle, The Words of Life, The Parting Words, What Can I Do? A very interesting question answered by the Bible, The Close Communion with the Lord. And last time on the broadcast, Words for a King. And I was thinking, especially as we concluded that broadcast, what wonderful words Daniel offered to King Belshazzar. But those words, you see, came too late as far as this king mending his way. His kingdom was crumbling, it was falling, it had decayed, and while he was having a great ball for his lords and ladies, considering his great triumph, we find he fell into the hands of death. Well, on the broadcast today, we're going to look at the other side of the picture. We're going to go to the 22nd chapter of Matthew, and if you want to follow us, we're going to be talking about what Jesus had to say, at least in part, about the subject of love. In that 22nd chapter of Matthew, you'll find an interesting teaching, and as you look for it, if you want to follow us, let us simply remind you once again that this broadcast is brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, not as a substitution for church attendance, but as a spiritual assistant to help you and your family come to know more about God's Word. So we do want to feel a part of your family circle, and we trust that you'll take us into your complete confidence as we put the Bible before you on the broadcast again today. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. We'd be glad to answer them if we possibly can. Now in this 22nd chapter of Matthew, as you found the place, those of you that have turned to it, you'll notice in verse 34, as the narrative unfolds, it simply says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" I'm unable to tell you, as I look at this lesson today, friends, how much preparation had gone into this lawyer's question. I really would be guessing if I tried to come up with an answer why this question was asked. Perhaps they wanted Jesus to commit himself, much like they thought he would, when they asked him if it was lawful, if it were lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar. They thought if Jesus said yes, then he'd hit one horn of the dilemma. Well, then they would say he can't be the Messiah because the Messiah is going to take us out of the rule of the Roman Empire. If he just said no, then they would have said, see, he is opposed to the government of the Romans. They were opposed to it, but they would have made a case out of it. You'll understand how Jesus answered that by saying, give me a penny or a coin. And as they showed it to him, he said, whose superscription is that on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. Then he made the famous statement, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. I believe for some reason, as we look at this, that there could have been great planning on the part of this lawyer, who apparently was of the Pharisees, attempting to actually get Jesus to put himself in a trap. But Jesus answered from truly the Word of God itself by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think you're aware of the fact that we have a principle here. You know, there's a difference between principle and liberty. Liberties are altered, possibly from the New Testament to the Old Testament and back and forth. But principles are those things that endure, whether it be set back under the covenant of Moses, whether it be said prior to that time or in the days of Jesus or the days of the apostles. So the principle is involved here as Jesus offers it as a principle of love. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the New Testament elsewhere, after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, we have the same principle being carried out, a love for God and a love for our fellow man. One place where you'll find this to be true is found in James, the first chapter. And I know as I talk to you on the broadcast today, there's a number of you that
perhaps have heard us publicly or privately, refer to James 1:27 as a true picture of the twofold obligation on the part of each Christian. You know, pure religion is defined here, which I would understand to be Christianity, for it is pure and is undefiled before God. It's pointed out that one is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction or to care for them. The word visit implies caring for them more than just making a personal call. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'd like to look at it in the order here that we actually have Jesus speaking of it. The first and great commandment would be to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Now, if we do this, we'll discharge a responsibility to our fellow man. But first of all, we will realize that there must be the discharging of that great responsibility to the love of God. And so we will keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You see, that not alone sets the right example before our fellow man, but the primary point is toward God. I can reason this way, I believe, so that every one of us can see it very conclusively. Ask yourself the question, was it an act of love when Jesus died upon the cross? To ask that question is simply to answer it, of course it was. Well, the point is simply this, why did Jesus die? Jesus died to make it possible that sin could be taken out of your life and out of my life and out of the lives of all people who ever lived upon the earth. The point is simply this. In Christian living, when we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we are paying tribute by our life in a living sacrifice to the accomplishment of Jesus at the cross. He didn't die to bring more sin into the world. He died upon the cross to take sin out of our lives, to make it possible that we would know how they could be taken out of our lives. So I believe that's an obligation to God, an obligation to Christ. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction is certainly an example of love, for under certain circumstances, there could be no class of people that would be in any greater need for our action of love and faith than the fatherless and the widows. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is telling you and telling me on this broadcast today through the Word that we are to put God first in our life. It's much like Jesus said from that great Sermon on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm wondering if the reason this is first is not alone because of our homage to God and to Christ as our Savior and King, but it's the way things are to be carried out. An individual who discharges a full responsibility to God is in a much better position to know how to treat his fellow man. When I was reading recently from that famous first chapter of 2 Peter, where Peter's talking about those wonderful so-called graces or virtues, how he tells us to add to our faith virtue and then knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, I believe this is a progress in Christian living and application. We get so far up the ladder, and we realize what God-likeness truly is like. I'm led to believe that there are some people who do not live close enough and long enough with the Lord to ever appreciate him. But when we reach that plateau of godliness, then you see the next two has to do undoubtedly with our fellow man. Brotherly kindness with those who are brethren in the Lord, and charity with the same principle of love that God had for the entire world. When John 3:16 was recorded, it sent out a clarion call to all men that in a world of sin, it was God who so loved the world that he gave a great act of love. When Jesus answered this question, it proves to us conclusively at a time when men were really putting him on the spot, so to speak, when they were testing him, when they were trying him, that Jesus seemed to be his very best. When the devil tempted him in the fourth chapter of Matthew, as we have it recorded there following his immersion, just before he began preaching in his personal ministry, he answered the devil with a "Thus saith the Lord." I want to encourage all who listen to this broadcast today, to realize that you must have the proper priority in your life, to seek first God and His righteousness, to seek first the kingdom of heaven, to seek first those things that are spiritual, that it may help you then to discharge your responsibility to your fellow man. One parting thought on the broadcast today I'd like to leave with you. Jesus must have known even before He left heaven that if He were going to make a triumph of His life here, and if the extent of His love and the love of God was truly going to be realized in the lives of men, He must have a true pattern. And I verily believe that Jesus and His personal ministry probably included in a number of His prayers, also realized that if He were to win the victory, it would simply be by making His life more like God's all the time. You see, there's no place that we can find where Jesus was at odds with His Father. There's no time that we can find Jesus being in opposition to God. He prayed in the garden, "If it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." But the emphasis was, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." So we leave the extent of love for the human family to God, to our fellow man. We trust this has been an edifying experience for you in this short period of broadcast. If you have questions about how you can love God and how you can love your fellow man, feel free to send them in. It's been good to be with you. We pray for those who are sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And we trust that this broadcast is coming into your home and into your heart. Remember, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ to bring you this broadcast in your area or community invite you to their services. Be with us again next week as we move on with another few minutes with the Bible.